LI News Time is 7:35 a.m. This is LI in the AM with Jay Oliver. I'm Tom Shalero sitting in for Jay Oliver. And we have with us the Pulse of America, Jerry Gazowski. Folks, you ever wonder what are everybody else thinking about? Well, Jerry's got the answer. Jerry Gazowski, how are you, my friend?
Good morning, Tom. How are you?
All right, what's the latest? I mean, everybody's talking. All I hear is people talking. You go to the bagel store, you go to the deli where people complaining about the prices. We know that's an issue, but everybody goes right down to it. Who are they voting for president? I mean, we are focused, folks, and it's not even the summer. We didn't even get to the convention yet, but people are thinking. People are saying, I got a phone call the other day. There was a polling. They wanted to know how I felt about the economy, how I felt about the border, how I felt about crime. And then, who am I voting for president of the United States? Jerry, I know you watch these polls better than you're like the eagle eye of polling in this country right now. That's why we call this segment the Pulse of America. What are Americans feeling? I mean, we get so many different conflicting thoughts. I talk to a lot of Republicans. I talk to a lot of Democrats. They all say, well, they blame each other. We're seeing that. We got local races coming up here on. We got primaries coming up in June. People of Suffolk County, people listening to me right now are going to be faced with voting for primaries if you're registered in a political party and so. But the question is this. What's the latest in polling? What is the mood of America?
So let's start out with national polls for president. Right now, in the current aggregate of polling, Trump is up by 1.5%. But as you know, we don't win the elections in this country by popular vote. We win it by states.
Can I just interrupt you? I mean, is it that close? Are we that divided? If you're telling me that one candidate over the other is up by 1.5%. And you're right. It doesn't have anything to do with the Electoral College because that's a different story. But if you take the 50 states and you do a cross sample of the people, it doesn't matter if you are a New Yorker or a Floridian or a Texan or Missourian or whatever you are, that it's that close between the two candidates?
But that's an aggregate of polls.
Right. Okay.
You know, so let's take, I'll take two current polls. We'll take the CNN poll. CNN has Trump up by 6 when it's a head-to-head matchup with Biden. If you put the other three candidates, Kennedy, Stein, and Weston, then Trump jumps up to a 9-point lead. And Harvard Harris just did a poll, too. Biden against Trump would be a 4-point lead for Donald Trump. And that Harvard Harris poll, I believe, is Mark Penn, who used to be Clinton's pollster. He did it. But I think he jumps to 7 when the other candidates are put in. I mean, it looks like we're going to have 3 more candidates. It's going to be a 5-way race in my mind. Come November 5th, I see it as a 5-way race. So I think I put more stock in this 5-way race than I do them going head-to-head.
So you're not buying that 1%, that 1.5%. You're not buying that.
I don't buy it.
It's not real. It's not real.
Yeah. And I do study the polls. So NPR just came out with a poll that has Biden up by 2. That's National Public Radio.
Right.
The broadcasting, very left-leaning. I don't think that's true. But those type of polls, they make the aggregate go down.
I try to look at it this way from an historical perspective. Okay, what do we have? We have a president, Joe Biden. He's running for re-election. So then my mind goes back, okay, how many presidents running for re-election were not successful? So we go to George H.W., the dad, the father. He ran, and then time comes for re-election. This Arkansas governor, Bill Clinton, beats him. So now you have an incumbent president losing, all right? Jimmy Carter, 1976, he lost, okay? Gerald Ford was an incumbent president, but he was never duly elected. He was appointed VP, and then, of course, he took over. So I'm trying to say, well, and I don't want to forget Trump because people get mad at me. Donald Trump was an incumbent president who lost re-election. Now, that's controversial, folks. I don't want to get into that right now, but so what is existing right now to show that Joe Biden may go the way of Bush and Carter, let's say for argument's sake? What is it there? Is there anything in the polling that's saying this is an incumbent president who will be relegated to the history of presidents who could not get reelected?
So I think it's a great question. And I like to look at H.W. What's common between this election and H.W. Bush?
You're talking about the dad,
yes. And the commonality there is you had another candidate in the mix to beat the incumbent. I think if Ross Perot never jumped in, I think Bush would have won that election. Bush,
okay, all right. So you're cool on that.
There's a lot of commonality there.
Yeah, okay.
I'm going to give you, and I know you like history, I like history. The convention of the Democrats is in Chicago. And in 1968, Chicago was just a boiling point for the Vietnam War and the protests outside the convention. Yeah. I think we may see that again this summer in Chicago with these campus riots. I'm going to call them riots. I don't call them protests.
No, they're not.
Campus
they're not
riots may just boil over into Chicago Democratic Convention.
Mm. All right. So similar history repeating itself. Now, of course, what happened in 1968 in Chicago, it was the Democratic Party under the leadership of Lyndon Johnson, who did not run for reelection. That's what galvanized the student movement in Chicago 1968 to be opposed to the Vietnam War. So is this history repeating itself? It's the actions of a political party, Democrats in 68, Democrats now, obviously in 2024, with the whole idea that possible support for Israel. But see, I look at the support for Israel as popular, though. What are you seeing differently that I'm seeing?
Well, yes, I agree with you, but there is a major voting block for the Democratic Party is younger voters. And right now there is a lot of discontent there, what's going on in the Palestinian-Israel conflict. So I'd like to give you a couple other numbers that I have here about Joe Biden. Okay. And then this brings up two approvals. On the economy, he's negative 18. Foreign policy, he's negative 25. Inflation, negative 30. Crime, negative 15.5. Immigration, negative 31.
Wow.
Ukraine, negative 13. And it's crazy.
Yes, those are horrible numbers. I don't see.
Yes.
And again, I try to be fair and balanced. I don't see how anybody can get reelected president with those numbers. We've never seen him in history. In fact, he's got the lowest numbers beyond Jimmy Carter, beyond Richard Nixon, who obviously had to resign in disgrace, beyond George Bush and so on, those presidents who lost. Now, of course, we could point to the first presidency of Donald Trump where those polling numbers were up. But let me ask you this. When we look at this, I mean, the president is running a campaign. I'm talking about President Joe Biden. This is interesting, by the way. We got two presidents running against each other. I think that's fascinating in American history. So you have Joe Biden running, and he will go out there, and so will his congressional candidates, including here on Long Island, folks, because there will be Democrats running for Congress. They have to run under the mantle of Joe Biden. Okay. So, but they're saying everything is good. It can't be any better. You're better off now. You've got the Long Islanders listening right now, Jerry. Are they buying that? If somebody told you things are good, but your credit card debt is through the roof because you had to make up for money that you had to spend because of high inflationary rates, are you going to say, yeah, right, Joe Biden just told me everything is great, so therefore I'm going to vote for Joe Biden and the Democrats? Does polling show that the American people are not buying it? Because that's their message, by the way. That's the message,
yes,
that everything is fine. Inflation is good. We're making this other stuff up. Go ahead, Jerry.
Well, I would say no, and based on these numbers, these are polling numbers, when you dig down into the polls and find out why the approval rating is so low, inflation, you're negative 30 on how you're handling it. Economy, you're negative 18, how you're handling it. Yeah, I think that is what the people are saying. And it would be a false narrative to say that people are doing well at this point.
Okay.
You know, there is a wild card.
Give me the wild card.
The wild card is these indictments and these trials. And the CNN poll did look at this question, and I'd like to read it to you.
Sure.
Okay. And this was conducted by CNN between April 18th and 23rd. Charges should disqualify Trump from presidency if true. So one of the issues is the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. 47% of the people said if he was to be convicted of that, they would not vote for Donald Trump. Here's the second one. This is, I believe, the Georgia one. Efforts to overturn the 2020 election. 43% said they would not vote for Trump if that was to, you know, find him guilty. The other one I think is the Florida one, classified documents. 38% said they would not vote for Donald Trump. Now, this is our current trial that is going on today, in fact.
Right.
The hush money payments. Only 28% said they would not vote for Trump if he was found guilty. It seems as though the other three probably may not go to trial before Election Day. And that's how I see it. So the hush money payments, to me, is not actually going to make a big deal whether he's convicted or not.
Okay. Okay. Now, you're saying this based on scientific fact, based on polling. Am I correct? Because this is a big debate. You know this.
On a CNN poll.
As a polling guy, you know that this is a big question in this whole dynamic of the mysterious year of 2024 politically on what is going to take place. That if you are running for president and you are doing terrible on inflation and you are doing terrible on the border issue, 11 million people wandering around the country right now, you're doing terrible with that. The best thing for you to do is to, as an incumbent president, to make sure that your opponent gets prosecuted, because if he is convicted, you're running free. Is that correct? He will win. I'm talking about Joe Biden.
It seems that you would think that. I agree with what you're saying, but it just so happens all these cases that come up right now, right? You know, here we are.
I think the whole thing is terrible, and I've expressed my point of view on my show, that in the national interest of this great country of ours, who care about inflation, who care about standard of living, who care about crime, who care about what's happening at the border, who care about national events and how we pulled out of Afghanistan and the foreign policy, all of what's out there, that this is horrible being done to the American people by taking one of the two candidates, in this case, Donald Trump, and putting him on trial. You know, you may say, oh, he's guilty of something. Well, too bad, because he's going to be the nominee of the Republican Party. 50 million people voted for him in the primaries. Well, it would have been 50 million if he had some opponents, but they all seemed to drop out at the last minute, or they were dropping out little by little, I should say. So in the national interest of this country, let's have a good election. But no, it can't be that way. We've got to watch Donald Trump at a table next to attorneys being accused of all sorts of things, whether he's guilty or not. And this is what's happening right now. And what you're telling me, the polling is the American people are buying this, though. They're going to say, all right, if he gets convicted, I'm not voting for him. I'm going to go back to the same old, same old. I'm not happy, Jerry.
Well, let's look at the hush money payments. 28% of the voters said they wouldn't, you know, vote for him. But who are those 28%? I don't know. Are they Democrats? Were they not going to vote for him in the first place?
Right.
So I really can't tell you. I don't think my feeling is it's not going to be 28% of Trump supporters. That's how I read the poll.
Well, could he still win if he gets convicted of this? He paid Stormy Daniels. Who the heck is Stormy Daniels? I mean, we all know who Stormy Daniels is. He paid $130,000. I mean, come on. And by the way, I'm watching this trial. It is fascinating. If you have a legal interest, folks, watch this trial. Because, again, they got a trial where they can't even pinpoint the defendant, the subject, the former president, to the actual whatever it is, because it's been found by other agencies there wasn't a crime here. What the heck is going on? Because Alvin Bragg will let the bad people go, because he does that all the time. But he wants to make sure he gets Donald Trump so that he could write a book and make a lot of money, which is really what this is all about. And I shouldn't give that point of view. But
I tend to agree with you.
Yeah, I think the American people are not stupid, but the mere fact that there are people in this country that want hope, and they see, and you can see it at Trump's rallies, they see in him, some people who have Trump derangement syndrome are going to be very sick right now, but they see him inspiring hope and belief in the future of America. That's what they see, and that's his message. And to me, this trial thing is not in the best national interest, but
no. I also wanted to speak about some of the battleground states.
Okay, that's important.
I have some numbers there. And at this point, I'm just considering six states, and that would be Nevada, Arizona, Georgia, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. I consider them battleground states. I don't consider Florida a battleground state. I don't even consider North Carolina as a battleground state at this point. Okay. So I didn't even look into those because you're doing very well. Florida definitely has trended to become a Republican state.
Yeah.
So North Carolina, too, has become more and more leaning right. But in Nevada, as of today, Biden against Trump head-to-head would be a 4.5% lead for Donald Trump. If you throw in the other three candidates that I mentioned previously, it becomes a 7.5 increase plus for Donald Trump. Going to Arizona, it's a 5% head-to-head win for Trump. Now, this is interesting. If it's a five-way, it becomes a 4.7. So he actually, Donald Trump loses some votes if the other three candidates jump in there. Georgia, 3.8 head-to-head right now for Trump. If it's a five-way, it's a 6-point lead. Wisconsin is tight. It's 1.8 for Trump, and it remains the same with the other candidates. Michigan, a 1.2% lead for Donald Trump. Again, interesting, if the other three are in, it becomes a 0.2% lead for Donald Trump. And in Pennsylvania, he has a 1-point lead head-to-head, Donald Trump. And with the other candidates, it becomes a 1.6% lead for Donald Trump. So overall, the candidates, the other three candidates, kind of help Trump when he runs, rather than going head-to-head.
So what you're saying is if I suffer from Trump derangement syndrome, I should be taking more medication based on these. I mean, I don't know how else to say this. I see this as a very close race. And I don't know why people ask me this all the time. Again, are you better off now than what you were 4 years ago? I've had people on my radio show, people running for Congress. Oh, we're much better off right now. But what I just don't see it. I go to the supermarket. I talk to people. I talk to strangers. That's what I do. And people saying, I can't believe what I'm paying right now. I can't believe it. This is double what I pay. I mean, people are upset. They're upset. They're getting their PSE&G bills. They're announcing another rate increase. We're seeing that happen. One person was telling me my son is trying to find a house on Long Island. If you can find one for $400,000 or $500,000, but then he's found out that his mortgage rate is going to be 7.2%, which is what they are right now. How could you say? I mean, again, maybe, I don't know. I don't know where they're coming with that. But we're going to have candidates right here on Long Island that are going to tell the folks they're better off. And from what you're telling us, Jerry Gazowski, Pulse of America, you're telling us that's not the Pulse of America. It's not.
But I would tell you this. I believe that the country is very split in ideology. The way we think about our political parties, there's a big split. And maybe, no matter what, I will blame the other guy. And it's just, I don't blame the guy. Maybe I blame the previous president. Say, well, this has all happened because he left it that way. So it's hard to get blowout elections anymore because of our ideologies and my beliefs. This is what we believe. It's not going to change us. This is what we believe.
Yeah, I mean, Ronald Reagan, who was a challenger to an incumbent president, destroyed Jimmy Carter with the electoral vote, destroyed him. I mean, and this was unheard of. And yes, the country certainly wasn't divided then because everyone said, well, we like what Ronald Reagan is saying. So he took on an incumbent and won. And then he went on 4 years later, 49 states to one. Could that ever happen again from your polling, from what you see? Because you live and breathe this stuff. Can you ever see that happening?
I don't see it. I don't see it because you have California and New York. So basically, in the presidential election, you start off the day as a Democrat with those two states. You know, you don't even have to set foot in them. You're going to win those states. And then I would say now at this point, Florida and Texas, the Republican candidate starts the day, not having to set foot in either of those states. So it doesn't matter if they go there and campaign. And so to a certain degree, they only go to battleground states. There's only 6, 7, 8 states that get to really hear what the presidents that are or the people running for presidents have to offer. The rest of the country is like, yeah, we're just voting that way. It's going that way. Who cares?
Yeah. I'll tell you, just trying to put some perspective in this and to see which way we're going to go. I'm hoping for best things November 5th when that finally comes. Folks, you can tune in to LI News Radio on that night. We will be covering election night. We will be talking about it. And I hope we become a united country after that, no matter who wins. And I hope it's the best person that's going to make it easier for the Long Islanders. Jerry, any final word? Any thoughts? Because we'll have you back on again, obviously, on the midday show.
Well, it's November 5th is a super huge election for the direction of the country, you know, going forward for probably the next generation, I would say. It's a big deal this November 5th.
And we'll be watching the polling and see if it has any sort of standing come November 6th when we finally do the post-mortem on the 2024 election race. But we got a lot more to go. We got conventions coming up. We got all of that. Jerry Gazowski, Pulse of America, thank you very much. I appreciate you getting up early this morning to come on LI in the AM with Jay Oliver. Thank you.
I appreciate that you had me on. Thank you.